Hey friends, one of the easiest ways to build and run a container in Azure is with Visual Studio. Docker tools in Visual Studio can now run containers in Azure Container Instances. Paul Yuknovich is here to show me how it works, including how to deploy a multi-container app using Docker Compose today on Azure Friday. Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman and it's Azure Friday. I'm here with Paul Yuk. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing really well, just crafting and coding.
You know? I appreciate your very, very organized crafting area there. And we're going to be crafting some containers. See how I did that?
It's good. It's a good one.
Right there. And you've got a bunch of great demos and a bunch of cool stuff for me, as you always do. We're going to try to understand basically code to cloud with Visual Studio and Docker.
Perfect. Yeah, it sounds like a plan.
All right. So do you want to just share your screen and dive right into it? And I'll just interrupt as is my typical way of doing things.
So in the process of code to cloud, maybe we'll start with code and then we'll do some cloud.
All right. Let's do it. Starting.
All right. So let's start with Visual Studio, because I know there's a lot of .NET developers out there watching this, hopefully. And it turns out we put in some really cool goodies into Visual Studio that I haven't quite seen anywhere else. So I thought we could start there and then maybe branch out a bit and do some VS Code as well.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it. So I'm in Visual Studio. And what's a demo, Scott, without a hello world? So let's do that. How about a web app?
All right.
Name. And any .NET app will do at this point. We'll just keep going the web app. Okay, so at this point, the normal thing we do with containers, we want to take our code and then, you know, describe it a little bit. Like we're going to put it in a bag. We're going to describe what's going in. So we're going to build a Docker image. And then at that point, we can put that image all kinds of places, and that'll give us the density, that'll give us the economics, and that'll give us the portability that's just really cool with Docker. So the cool thing in Visual Studio, I can just take, you know, any .NET app, I can right-click, and I can say add, and we can add Docker support.
Mm.
At this point, I have a couple choices, Linux or Windows. You know, choose what makes you happy. And in this case, we didn't see too much change, but we got this Docker file. And what we do by default, as you, many of you might know, we scaffold the Docker file. And what Visual Studio will do, it'll honor these first six lines of markup, or you could think of it almost like batch in the Docker file, where we'll pull an ASP.NET image that's patched and ready to go. And we'll expose a few ports for our web app, and we'll pull in the web app, and off we go. But we also give you a few, we call these build steps or multi-stage build. There's a few stages here where we're going to do a build and we'll do a publish step and then we'll finalize. We'll take all the goop that was, you know, interstitial files for this, and we're going to give you a really clean image at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So the cool thing is we'll leave you with a Docker file that is set up with a pattern to build something really clean, but we'll also have a step that's really good for dev and test.
Yeah, this is really nice. If I may add to that, that the idea that, you know, every system is different. Some systems have the build, the runtime and the SDK bent together. Some systems don't. You know, Node, you'll just go and have Node and then you'll ship Node. But with .NET, we've got this whole SDK with all the compilers and stuff, but you don't want to ship all the compilers. So what you're saying is that you build in a container and you take the result of that and send it kind of down this pipeline, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller until you ship just the bits that you need to on the end. So you're giving us a best practice based on the type of application.
Yep. And I think just to build on what you're saying, you can use this to add another test step. Let's say we're using the SDK and your testing tools, but you also want to make sure you don't ship that. That's pretty dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you can see we're doing, we're using the Microsoft Container Registry. So we've cloned some images from Hub, and we've additionally, you know, virus checked, and we've done a number of compliance checks. So this is another best practice. Use, you know, one of these registries, or use a private registry where you have a little bit more governance over the image. And all those things you don't really have to think about. The tools just do it for you.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. So once we did that, we've got this Docker file, and the default for Visual Studio, it wants to actually run and optionally debug inside a Docker, which I'll go ahead and do that now. The thing is, we've learned over the years, and I was totally wrong about this theory. I thought that hey, you add a Docker file, of course you want to be running and debugging in Docker. But it turns out that maybe I just want to run in Docker in my pipeline, or maybe there's just those times that I want to debug my code to see how it runs in a container. But other times I just want to run it with all the dependencies on my machine. So we got a little bit more flexible over the last year, as you've probably seen. You can both, you know, build and run on Docker, or you could go back to IIS Express and you could run on one of those other environments. And it's all just in a dropdown. So you can pick at any point and really run in the right developer runtime environment for you. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So, okay. What are we cooking up here? I think I probably did a pretty good poll on this machine that I haven't done in a while.
Did it pop up the dialog? Oh, there it is. I thought it might be on a different monitor.
Yeah, so we're just warming up this environment a little bit, but you know, instead of running directly on IIS Express, I'm just running in my container on my nice little Docker network and off I go.
Okay.
All right, so the thing I want to do, let's look in the containers window. And it's right here. And the containers window will show us a set of containers that we're running in this environment, in this context, either driven from my solution that I just built and ran, or other containers that are running on the machine. So it could be databases, other supporting containers. And what we do is we show you a number of things that will just help understand the state and the files and the logs and everything going on with your container. And I really use this for troubleshooting.
So is
so
this,
one common thing we
is
find.
This, sorry, is this the equivalent of Docker PS or Docker PS-A? Or
a, yeah,
or
totally. Like if you're familiar with the command line, you could do this from Docker PS or you could do Docker exec commands. But without having to know all of the CLI's, you know, context, you just get these little watch windows.
Nice.
Right. So you can interactively see and set your environment variables. Maybe you forgot one. And one of my things, one of the things I think is most handy is we have this files window, which really demystifies what is literally mounted and running inside of the container environment. So here I can see, you know, when we referenced source or when we referenced the binary, I can actually see the path on disk and actually validate that all the files I expect to be there are actually there.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So at this point here, that source folder that it looks like your source is in the container, it's really a pointer back. It's a volume mount with a Docker container points to the actual source, correct?
Correct. And that's one of the tricks we do to keep debugging working a bit faster. And as I mentioned, you know, Visual Studio will kind of honor this first clause. But by the time you deploy, so don't worry, we'll clean it up and we'll get all that stuff out of there and give you a clean final image.
That's cool.
Yeah. So just a couple of great things here, you know, and you can right click and do some other operations, start and stop, even open an interactive terminal window. So I just want to make sure that for folks who are using Visual Studio, you know about this and you try it out.
Wow.
Cool. Actually, one more thing while we're here, because I just can't resist. We did add a Docker file, but I could also add orchestration. And that's a handy thing if I wanted to, you know, work with multiple services. I could use Docker Compose or I could use Kubernetes and actually scaffold out what I needed to run more than one service.
It's 2020 and you're going to right click add Kubernetes and then I get promoted is what that's how that works.
It's as easy as that.
It's as easy as that.
We'll even send an email. Oh, I guess I didn't.
To your boss directly.
Exactly. All right. So if you don't have questions about that, maybe should we pop over to Visual Studio Code?
Yeah, let's do it. So you can do this in both Visual Studios.
Yeah, we can do it in both. Visual Studio Code, it's you know, the work we've done, there's the Docker extension. It's a little bit newer. So we're actually playing catch up a little bit with what's in Visual Studio, but we've learned a lot from Visual Studio and we're at least trying to add the best things there. Plus, you know, Visual Studio Code has its own style, its own personality. It's a little bit more CLI code focused. So we really adhere to that experience and we did things in the style of Visual Studio Code.
Cool.
One thing that I thought would be fun, I thought we could take a replica, in the style of a favorite game that I've had for the last couple of decades. And it's written in Java. I thought it would be fun to just kind of go through the DevOps process. Let's turn this into a container. Let's set up the dependencies and let's get it up there in Azure.
Okay, let's try it. So this is a Java application. It's open source and it's up on GitHub as we can see. I see your forked version here. I assume you forked it and then you basically...
From the community, so building on the community.
Okay, so you fork it, you added Docker support now to this. You're going to run this in a container.
Definitely. And I have a PR, which I, once I do some, you know, some of the things that was suggested, hopefully it'll get accepted too.
Cool.
That'd be a fun day. So, so let's see, let's open code. All right. And I have this in a source folder here where I cloned to this machine.
The little machine that could.
The little machine that could. All right. All right. And so what we've done, we've taken this fork, as you pointed out. I've made sure that I can build using, you know, Gradle and other Maven-based build tools on this machine. So, you know, the first step is make sure that the app itself is running, of course. But after that, we're going to do the process of, you know, Dockerizing it, basically putting it in a container, then getting ready to ship it off to the cloud. So if I use the command palette, and it's telling me I could get Java 11, but I'm going to use Java 8 because that's what this source base is based on. So we're okay there. So let's bring up the command palette. Okay. And when I type in Docker, you can start to see all of the tools we have. And it's a lot of the lifecycle commands you'd expect, you know, start. I can do a push. I can do a build. I can do a debug. I can do a run. A thing that I'll call out is when you're getting started, you can always add this add Docker files to workspace. And what that'll do, that'll add the Docker file and compose files. And you have a few other options. And it does it in the right way for each language. So that's a great place to start. And it gives you that starting point Docker file. And really, just to demystify that, all it's really going to do is pick the right base image. We set up to run the main build output. And then if you have more dependencies, that's something you just want to copy in or do a wget or do something from the cloud.
There's an interesting juxtaposition there, because this is a Docker runtime file in the sense of your Docker file here is going to run the output that you build locally, unlike the .NET one where you were building in Docker, building up a multi-stage pipeline. And that's okay, too. You have the choice.
That's right. Yeah. In this case, and it is a good juxtaposition. I want to take a live code base, and my only goal here is to do more of the DevOps step of make it run in the cloud. So in this case, I'm really taking more of the binaries that came from another process, and I just want to package them up and ship them.
Cool.
Right. Okay. So now that I've got this piece running, the next thing I want to do is show off some of the cool tools that we have. So like we saw in Visual Studio, there's a projection of the running containers. We also had a big request to show all the images that have been brought to your machine, which is kind of like Docker space images, but I can see them all here. And we start to see some of the cloudy things, right? So a best practice is to publish your image with a label into a registry, and then that becomes the thing that we'll pull from in the cloud. So the cloud is pulling from a trusted store, which in this case is your registry. Other things that are kind of important, this is a feature that's a little lesser known, but there's a way to set a Docker context. And the way I think of a Docker context, it is telling your tooling what is the environment, what is the context that all of the Docker commands and all of the Docker pipeline should be running against. So by default, we have a default context, which is just using the hardware of this machine, and it's just running on the Docker desktop and Docker engine that's right there. But what I can do, I have the option to set up multiple contexts, and these could be all kinds of different environments. It could be a shared test server. It could be my dev workspace in the cloud, or any other kind of cloud environment. Mm-hmm. So we've also made it really easy. I can just create a context on the fly. We'll do this. Yeah, then I'll just pick a resource group, which is kind of like a namespace in the cloud. I like that name, so I'll choose that. And we'll co-locate nearby, so we'll use West US. And what this step is doing is it's actually creating that context in Azure. That was actually really nice and quick.
Wow.
But now in my subscription, I have a place where whenever I do a Docker run or a compose up, I'm going to be running in the context of that Azure container. In this case, using ACI, which is an Azure container instance.
And is that already spun up, or have you just made the space for it to spin up?
It's more of the second one. It's a space. So the networking is set up, the resource is set up, it's ready to go, but not until you do a Docker run will it actually pull the image and actually start running it, which is kind of similar to how things work locally. And this is really cool because every time I run, I will basically replace the container or the container group that's running there. And it lets me have that tight inner loop, but in the cloud.
I see. And then I'm also not charged until it starts running as well, correct?
Exactly. Super important in the cloud, right? So I can actually get per second billing thanks to the service.
Wow.
And I know that when it's not running, I'm not paying. So it's just pay for what you use.
Cool.
So now that I've set this context, or sorry, now that I've created this context, I can go ahead and just use it. And I can change context all day long. I can use whichever one I want. So it's totally dynamic. And then the command line will honor that. So it's kind of a system-wide setting. But also the tool window, you notice, just refreshed, and it's showing a clean slate. So it's kind of like a new clean slate to deploy into in Azure.
Nice. So would I could do whatever I want. I could have dev test staging. I could have my own personal context. It's up to me how what I
totally
want context to mean.
Exactly. And I think the environments is a really good example. Sometimes you also want to just try something for yourself, right? So it could be your dev environment up there, or sometimes you want to do like a flight. And so you could, you know, post a slightly different version and try that out.
Per second billing, I could make one and just call it a one-off and then delete it and make it go away, right?
Absolutely.
Cool.
You know, in ACI, it's great for dev test and for production, but for these dev test cases, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. It's so easy to use this.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So the next step that I'd want to do is I'd want to build my image and make sure that it's actually kind of published up to the cloud. So I can see I already have a few images up here.
Do you need to build locally and push, or are you going to pull from an already built one that's up in there?
Yeah, we could do both cases. Why don't I just show you what I would do? So I could always say Docker, and I could say build image. And I could also do a push, and I can push to the Docker registry. You know, that's going to take a little bit of time. You're just going to watch it upload.
Sure.
Once it's uploaded, it's going to look, you know, basically like this. And I think you and I, when we were practicing this, yeah, just on Friday, the last Friday, we'd already done this. So it's waiting here in the registry. And again, a good thing about the registry is I can have additional compliance checks and other things running here. And then at that point, I can take anything from the registry, and it's just one more click to put it in the cloud. If this were an HTTP app, which it isn't, that would be a good fit for app service. But this is more of a compute-y server, kind of a worker kind of an app. Mm-hmm. So this is a great candidate for Azure Container Instances.
I see. So this isn't necessarily a website with web pages that sits on port 80 and serves stuff.
Exactly.
It's a communication.
This is more
app.
Of a server that's sitting there waiting for someone to make a connection with a socket,
right,
you know, to orchestrate the game and then to facilitate the moves.
Okay, cool. I'm curious, one thing before you click your context, when you right-clicked on the server and you said it said pull, would you be pulling to your computer or pulling into the context? And like, where would that pull occur to? Because you're in the context of Azure Friday.
It would pull to my context, and it would pull locally in most cases.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you push to the registry, and then you could pull back from it.
Okay.
A good case there would be like, hey, I want to have my own cache of this thing and just work off of that for a bit.
Okay.
Or maybe have a derived version. Maybe I'm going to go build my own derived version from it and keep it locally for a bit.
All right. Well, let's get it running and see what happens.
Okay. So let's go pick reboot. It's not a SQL, Scott. It's a reboot.
Mm-hmm. So down here in the corner, it says logging in.
Yep.
Figuring out its port, presumably from that expose on line
yep.
two there.
That expose. Exactly. And then in the case of a Docker compose, there's even a bit more machinery around
That's
how
nice.
The networking works.
And you can see that it's, so then the top part there, you can see where it generated a Docker command line. And that's a nice thing about Visual Studio Code is it gives you like a nice GUI, but ultimately it hides nothing from you, doesn't it? It's just giving you
You're absolutely right. I'm glad you reminded me. That was a design point. We took a little bit of a risk there, but we thought really we should just do the best practices on the commands and actually leave you with the commands. And so you can learn from it. You could also customize it. So in this case, it's actually easy to change what the tool's pipeline does.
Right. So what is objective leaky? If I remember correctly, when you're doing things in Docker, it takes an adjective and a famous scientist and combines them and invents different things like clever
Ada.
You
get either fabulous or unfortunate results by doing that, but that's exactly what's happening. So we're getting the Docker name. You know, this is kind of a logical name, but really it's just creating, it's doing an actual Docker run just in a remote Docker engine that's actually running in Azure.
Mm. As I recall, there was there's a special case in there, like boring Wozniak. So if it ever accidentally implies that Steve Wozniak was a bad guy or a boring guy, I'd say this would never happen. So there's a certain combinations of Mad Libs they refuse to allow as names.
Someday I aspire to be in that
list there. Okay. So is it running now?
Yeah, it's running. So I can see there's a queue here. It says it's healthy. It would have been red or otherwise if it weren't. And one thing I like to do is I just look at the logs, and you can actually see, well, the connection got reset a few times, but it actually spun up a few bots. In this game, it's kind of funny. The robots versus the droids, there's different intelligence levels in the AI that's selected, but they actually literally join the game through the networking, just like a client. But if you interactively join, hint, hint, which would be super cool, we could actually play a real game here.
Oh, okay. So before you click anything else there, let me switch over here. This is your head on my computer. So this is my mouse. And I took the jar file that you gave me and I started running it. And then I have to hit what, connect to server? And then what's the IP address for me?
Oh, let me go fetch it. I should have prepared for that.
Yeah. So switching back to your side, you're going to go figure out the IP address.
Yeah.
I love that you say a couple of days ago when we practiced this, like we practiced this because we didn't. You could grab that from the command line or directly from the portal as you're doing right now.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think there may have actually been a moment there where it told you the ACI.
It did. I'm totally going the slowpoke way.
I bet you can type ACI right there. Someone told me from the team that they put in abbreviations in the Azure portal. So when you type AKS or ACI, they automatically take you to the right thing. Look at that.
Scott, we usually charge for those tips, but okay, I guess we can.
You can PayPal me. There's objective leaky right there.
Yep.
All right, okay. So right. 52.180. It's like a good number, it's like having a good phone number. You say, that's a number I can count on. That's a number I can feel good about. So switching back over to my computer and hitting connect, nickname, Chancelman, new channel, fancy pants, join channel.
Are you digging the Java AWT graphics?
This is a high quality graphics. Don't disrespect. New game.
Yep, that's what you want to do.
Awesome.
Take some options.
Okay. Create game. This is pretty epic. Sit here.
Right.
Start. Oh my God, look at that. Now hang on. This is the client. And then this is sitting on top of the container that you just spun up in seconds in Azure, correct?
That's exactly right. Yep. So the server that knows the state, that knows the turns, is in the background in Azure. And I'm a little worried for you because you didn't just get the droids, you got the robots, and see how they have the scholarly hats.
Oh, so they're smarter.
Yeah, you're in for a rough one, man.
Interesting. Well, this is an exciting clone, totally open source clone of unnamed popular board game, but in this case here, we were able to get that running in just minutes with Visual Studio and Azure Container Instances.
Pretty sweet.
Very cool. All right. So,
and really, that was our goal. You know, in a case like this, we want to get something up and running really fast, whether it's one container, or even if it was, you saw I had that MariaDB container, right, a supporting container. It's just really easy to push those into a container group and get going.
Very cool.
It's the easiest way to put a container in Azure.
Dev test staging, whenever you feel like it, production, web apps, random apps that open a port, any language, anytime, Visual Studio.
Any language, on Windows, need to be on a VNet, no ES problem, code. Monitoring. Yep, it's the real deal.
It's the real deal. You heard it here first, friends. Go give it a try. Check out your Azure subscription. Feel free to go and use your MSDN benefits. All you need to do is install Docker Desktop and the Visual Studio Docker extensions, and you'll go to town. Thanks so much. I'm learning all about code to cloud with Visual Studio and Docker today on Azure Friday. Hey, thanks for watching this episode of Azure Friday. Now I need you to like it, comment on it, tell your friends, retweet it. Watch more Azure Friday.